Can't we still be friends? If you go, you know you'll grieve me. All in life on you depends, because I love you. Am I guessing? Guessing that you love me. Dreaming dreams, dreams of you in vain. I'm confessing that I love you. I love you all over again. Yes, I'm confessing.
'22 meeting of the Goleta Commission, the Goleta Library Commission is now in session. And let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance,
to the flag
of the United States of America. And to the republic,
for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice
for all.
Thank you. Can we do the roll call, Janet?
Chair Goodman?
Present.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Here.
Commissioner Callanan?
Present.
Commissioner Drake?
Present.
All righty. And now we have our public forum. At this time, anyone who would like to comment on an item not on the agenda should let us know.
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to any item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself. I see no public comment.
Terrific. Let's move on to A1, the consent calendar, approval of the Library Advisory Commission meeting minutes from Monday, June 6, 2022. Do I have a motion to approve?
Yep, I make a motion.
And a second?
I'll second.
Yeah. We do the roll call.
Okay, Chair Goodman?
Approve, aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Approve.
Commissioner Callanan?
Approved.
Commissioner Drake?
Approved.
All right, we'll move on to item B1, the Goleta Valley Library Collection Development Policy and Request for Reconsideration Form. Do we do public comment before the report, Janet? Or so at this time, if there are any members of the public who would like to comment on the collection development policy, please raise your hand. Use the raise hand icon.
Okay. If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to any item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself. Chair Goodman, it looks like there's one member of the public wishing to speak. His name is Roman Baratiak.
Roman? Go ahead and unmute yourself and speak. You have 3 minutes.
We're not hearing anything, Mr. Baratiak. We're still not hearing anything. If the caller is having technical difficulties, he did call me this afternoon and told me what he wanted to discuss. If we want to give him another minute to try and iron out his difficulties, and then perhaps I could introduce the topic that he wanted to discuss.
That seems okay with me. I do want to make sure that the public has the opportunity to be heard. Is this one that needed to be an item that needed to be acted upon today, Allison, in order for the council to approve the policy, or it needs to happen today?
Yes, it was. Questioning one word in the under the section selection process, one of the words that we use for criteria for selection.
Okay, well. Janet?
Chair Goodman, I'm going to go ahead and email him directly, and perhaps I'll end this item again with another call to public forum, and he might be able to speak then.
That would be great. Or even perhaps he could put his remarks into an email to you and that you could read as well at the end.
I think what I am allowed to do is to email you directly his comments. I don't know that I'm allowed to read them aloud.
Okay, if you read them to me, I probably can read them aloud. Okay. You better tell me that it's going to be my city email and I would have to open it and check it. Meanwhile, Allison, can you share the concerns that you
Yes. On the first page of the collection development policy, which we discussed way back in June, under selection process, this patron had already asked me to put on, under selection process, he had asked me to put patron demand first as criteria, which I did. The word that he is objecting to now is accuracy as one of the criteria. He feels that accuracy is, I really hate to speak for him, but so why don't I just go ahead with the addition that I made since we last discussed the policy, and then hopefully he can come on and tell us why he wants accuracy removed from the criteria. So on page three of the collection development policy, I did add a section in that I realized I had forgotten to talk about in June, which is e-materials, because up until now, we have not had any power over selection of e-books or e-audiobooks, because other than the fact that Black Gold directors or staff sort of share the responsibility of purchasing those titles. But one of the things that we put in the budget for this year is to create a Overdrive Advantage account. And what this will do, we put $10,000 in there and we will be able to purchase e-books and e-audiobooks that would be just available to our patrons at Goleta and Buellton and Solvang and the Bookmobile. And we would really only buy duplicate copies of bestsellers where there are really long waiting lists on the Black Gold Overdrive account. Sometimes there can be, you know, maybe four copies of a bestseller ebook on there, and there can be 125 holds on it. So we are hoping that by adding an Overdrive Advantage account, this will help sort of ease the wait period that our patrons are feeling. So I added in e-materials because it will involve selection on the part of our librarians. And so I'll just read it out loud. The Black Gold Cooperative Library Consortium pools its resources each year to purchase ebooks and e-audiobooks for the Overdrive collection. Criteria is based on patron requests, popularity, positive reviews, currency of information, and generally the same qualifications as used for purchasing physical fiction and nonfiction books. Cost is also a factor, as publishers charge libraries very high amounts for each ebook. The Goleta and San Ynez Valley Libraries will be opening an Overdrive Advantage account for purchasing current bestsellers. These will be available to our patrons only and will help fill demand in a more timely fashion. So I did want to point that out, that I had added that to the collection development policy since we met in June, so that that would really cover all of the collection development that we do, so that it's a really comprehensive policy now. Otherwise, I made any changes that you requested, and in particular with the request for reconsideration, I made it much simpler as you requested. I only asked them four questions instead of the seven or eight that I had asked them previously. So they have a lot less work to do a request for reconsideration. And Jenna, have we heard from our caller yet? Were there any other questions on the policy that anyone had after rereading it?
Then could you remind us of that part with the that our public is concerned about? That
sure.
Can you just review that line with us?
Sure. Jenna, have you heard from?
So it looks, I have not heard from Roman. It seems that his audio is not connected at all. But I can ask for any members to speak again if you'd like to me, like me to, Chair. Okay.
Yes.
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to any item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself at this time. Okay, Roman Baratiek. Sir, can you unmute yourself, please? If you're using your phone to call in as well, please unmute yourself so we can hear you. Okay, unfortunately, I don't think your microphone works, sir. We will be moving on. If you could go ahead and email me your comments, and I'll make sure that the commissioners get your comments.
Quick question, could we, you know, I wanna make sure this gentleman's thoughts are surfaced, but can we review that line so then when we get his thoughts, we can apply context to it?
Sure, sure. So on page one of the collection development policy, at the bottom of the page under selection process, it says all acquisitions, whether purchased or donated, are evaluated by the following criteria. So the first one is, they're not really in order of importance, but I did move patron demand to the top as this patron had requested back in June. So patron demand, favorable reviews in professional library journals, positive attention by critics and reviewers, and then we have accuracy. And this word is the one that this patron is objecting to, saying that it's subjective and things can be accurate now and not be accurate any longer, you know, in 10 years perhaps. And things can be accurate for some people, but not for others, and things like that. So we had a discussion about it this afternoon on the phone, and I let him know that accuracy is important to have in a collection development policy, particularly for children's materials. It's really important that the nonfiction that we buy for children be accurate. If it's a science book, it needs to be scientifically accurate. And I do understand that it is a subjective term, you know, and that there are books that are, you know, Pluto was a planet at one point, and then we had to get rid of all of our books that called Pluto a planet and buy the new ones that said it was no longer a planet. So things do change, accuracy does change, and we acknowledge that. But we are not going to purchase, for example, a book that says the Holocaust didn't happen. That's inaccurate. And we're not going to spend taxpayer money on something like that. We do try to, help provide different opinions on all different matters. We try not to impose our personal views. So certainly with politics, things that are accurate to you might not be accurate to me, but we try to purchase for all perspectives. But I do feel that accuracy is an important word to have in our collection development policy. It is a typical word to have in policies. I did a little research this afternoon, and it's in all the big library system policies. It's not an unusual thing to have there. After accuracy, we have reputation of author, publisher, producer, or illustrator, cost and availability, relationship to existing material, format and ease of use, and inclusion in lists of recommended titles and or award winners. So, you know, you can have a discussion if you feel uncomfortable with the word accuracy and what you would consider being a reasonable substitution for it. I thought factual information, but again, that's subjective too. So it's really, this is just guidance for our staff to do the best job they can in responsibly spending taxpayer money on purchasing materials that are, to our best effort, accurate and reflecting the needs of our varied patrons. So I'll leave it up to you to discuss.
I don't want to throw like another wrench into things, but I am aware that there are people out there who object to fiction, say, where dogs are, you know, a children's book where the characters are dogs because dogs don't talk.
Right.
Which certainly is not accurate. So I know I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate here, but I'm wondering if we can get closer to what we mean by referencing something like up-to-date scientific and historical information or something that gets at what you're trying, I very much agree that we don't want items in the library that would be endorsed as true and accurate in a nonfiction section and are not. But, you know, our fiction section, of course, is not that word doesn't fit at all for fiction, really.
Right. Well, that's why we have a whole list of criteria, because all of these criteria don't all apply to all books or all materials that are in the library. So I don't think we can say that accuracy is not realistic to use because we have fiction in the library. That's why we have a whole list of criteria. And then later on, we get, after this sort of broad list, we get into print materials, nonfiction criteria, fiction criteria, periodicals, reference. And then we go into the criteria for different types of nonprint materials, and then criteria for collection maintenance and replacements and gifts and things like that. So we do address those all, individually, those sort of genre kind of questions. So for example, for the nonfiction criteria for print materials, we say the library acquires materials of both permanent and current interest of all, in all subjects. In addition to the general selection criteria, nonfiction titles are selected based on sustaining value, current information, demand, cost, and appropriateness of format. Goleta Valley Library emphasizes non-scholarly materials. Materials for children are selected to generate and support interest in popular subjects and provide supplemental materials for typical school assignments.
Any other comments from the commission?
Yeah, I just saw Janet just sent the notes. And one thing I want to highlight, Roman makes a fantastic point. Unfortunately, we just lost him, I think. But his point, which on accuracy, which I had not considered, which is an area like an economist. So, you know, what's the story? You have 30 economists in the room, you have 30 perspectives. And so I think his concern there is which one is accurate. You could have some people saying, say it's a current event, that we're headed for the worst depression ever versus we've got a boom. And I think that, and it's an interesting point. I unfortunately don't have a view to say, oh yes, one or the other, but I think it's less on the historical events didn't happen and more on embracing sort of a wider spectrum without being limited by the word accuracy. That's, as I read it, that's the sort of sentiment I'm seeing, which I think it's, there's a word you had, it's not relevant, but it's, you just said it, I apologize. But it's sort of like it's reasonably factually or something reasonably informed, perhaps, I think. But something along those lines. It's a difficult word because I hate to be in the middle of the road. I think we need something along those lines to say, yes, this is in. But I think to Roman's point, there's a wide spectrum in some areas, and there isn't going to be, quote unquote, one accurate perspective, for example.
Would the commissioners like me to read aloud his email, or are you all able to look at it? Or would it be a good idea for me to read it for the sake of public transparency?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I will read it. So here we go. I'd like to begin by thanking the Library Advisory Commission and Library Director Allison Gray for the opportunity to speak at this meeting. My name is Roman Baratiak, and I'm a resident in the city of Goleta. I recently retired from the UCSB Arts and Lectures Program, where I was the Associate Director. For 40 years, I curated the public lectures program, which brought hundreds of distinguished fiction and nonfiction authors, academics, scientists, and national and international luminaries to our community. I'm an impassioned supporter of public libraries and the vital role they play in building community and advancing human knowledge and intellectual curiosity. I also care deeply about free speech and open dialogue that champions, recognizes, and encourages a variety of perspectives on important issues. I feel very fortunate to have an outstanding public library just a short bicycle ride from my home right here in Goleta. I'm here to address the discussion item entitled Collection Development Policy and Request for Reconsideration Form. My concern is with one word in the proposed policy listed under selection policy. That word is the fourth bullet point regarding review criteria. That word is accuracy. I am fully supportive of and applaud every other element of the proposed policy. In addition, I strongly concur with the American Library Association's Freedom to View statement. The short definition in Oxford Languages of the word accurate is as follows: correct in all details, exact. I repeat, correct in all details, exact. Given that accepted wisdom and scientific knowledge is constantly shifting and evolving, that historical narratives are revised and basic disagreements exist on many important issues and topics, the goal of accuracy is simply elusive. And who will sit in judgment of the library and declare a book to be accurate, correct in all details, exact? Is this the latest diet or food fad book accurate? What about the latest hagiography about a politician or a celebrity? How likely to is the economist prognosticating on the future of the economy or the stock market? Or how about the slew of relationship and self-help books? Many popular books posit theories about past, present, and future. How do we vet their accuracy? When I was a student at UCSB, the required reading was Paul Ehrlich's The Population Bomb. His reputation still has not recovered. And what about all the books on peak oil, Y2K, Francis Fukuyama's The End of History, et cetera, et cetera? The best we can do is present a variety of learning perspectives with reasoned arguments that we as a reader can either accept or reject. Please drop the word accuracy from the proposed policy. Thank you for the opportunity to address this item.
So I didn't get to read this, but hearing you read it aloud for us allowed me to think a little bit more slowly about the word accurate and about the question I think is being proposed. And my experience as an employee at UCSB's research library makes me think of the idea of peer reviewed and source review and the kind of skill sets that we teach at the university, and that a public library was never designed to address those particular questions. The public library is a resource for the majority population. I don't think that the way accurate was written in this was attempting to tell every user that things are 100% factual. I don't think that the word accurate is intended to tell users how to interpret sources. I think that that's a whole different part of the education system that the public library system doesn't have power in, can't have power in, not at this current stage. I think that there's other resources that a library could provide that could help in this part of the process of evaluation of materials and sources, but I don't think that deciding at the collection development policy level is where that stands. I think that stands in a different part of literacy, a different part of reading. I don't think this limits the kind of books that this library will purchase or that will be requested to be purchased from the public.
Other comments?
I think, you know, as I chew on it a bit more, you know, to wordsmith, is veracity a better replacement? Because veracity is the conforms to a truth or fact. Doesn't accuracy, I can see, and I agree, Commissioner Agler, completely at what you're saying, and that there has to be a level of accuracy because these are research materials. You know, if in the case of Pluto, if I'm a first year astronomy student and I'm going in and there's a bunch of books on Pluto being a planet, we're missing that. But I think veracity, not to try to play middle of the road, but it does create, it's a conformity to a truth or fact. It represents, in my take, more of a like moment in time, best educated, this is our position, which I think, you know, perhaps solves this need.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I think what Allison was saying about when you go into the criteria for print materials, where we see accuracy again is under reference. And that's really getting at your point, Marcos, is like, that's where this is applicable. And these bullet points are really like, this is this more broad criteria that we're using. And then there's this more finite criteria we're using that's applicable to each section of what we've got. If, you know, if veracity is a close enough synonym to include in the policy and the public would be, you know, happier with that, then I think that's, you know, it's under the same vein. Or we're not saying that it's accurate that a unicorn is a princess in a nonfiction children's book, but it is accurate that we have, you know, the most current, you know, astronomy information in books for children or for adults. But no, and a you know, a thought process or piece by an economist may not be accurate, but we can't apply it like quite so finitely. The public's
point. Yeah, I would just like to add to that that that's why libraries weed materials, because you do purchase the big diet books because that's what everybody wants right now, and then you get rid of them in 7 or 10 years when they're proven not to be healthy or the newest diet fad comes around. And you know, similarly with economists and politics and all of that stuff, you can only purchase what is, you know, what is popular, what is considered appropriate at a point in time. Libraries are not museums. We don't keep everything that we purchase. We have a very active withdrawal policy so that we make sure all of the time that materials are timely. The first time that I got a librarian job after getting my degree, I was a children's librarian, and I was looking through the biography section in the children's department, and there was a biography of Richard Nixon, and it talked about what a wonderful president he was. He hadn't been impeached yet. So I just thought, you know, what poor kid got an F on their report, their president's report, because they went to the library in good faith and took out a book on a president and, you know, wrote the report. That book was accurate at one point in time. So it's all relative. And if you feel veracity is a better word, I still feel like it's semantics. But I'm willing to change it. But I have to say that most libraries use the word accuracy. And I think that with all of the other terms that we have in this very comprehensive policy, I think we're covering all of our bases. And as Marcos said, you know, we're buying by mostly reviews and by public recommendations. So, you know, we have to trust these professional review journals to tell us that something is, you know, accurate or not. So it is, it's hard, but if you can think of a better word than accuracy, I'm willing to consider it. But I do have to say accuracy is in most library collection development policies, and it's something that I've always worked with.
I'm wondering, you know, following our commenter's train of thought, it seems that he's concerned with the word accuracy because he's reading the beginning part of that section. All acquisitions are evaluated by the following criteria, as though they're evaluated by each of those criteria equally. Where what we're saying in this meeting is that these are criteria that inform the selection, but they're not necessarily not everything gets ticked off for every single thing. So I'm wondering if we need, rather than changing the word accuracy, if there's a way to, whether it's by affirming it here, or by putting in the policy to say that these are generally the things that we're looking at, not that, maybe it's just that we're affirming it in this meeting, not that any one of these is the only is going to stop it if one thing isn't exactly right. And you're right, it is semantics. I'm taking the argument at face value that that there's a concern about who judges accuracy, and that if we have a broad understanding, as Marcos pointed out, that there's plenty of room to have both accuracy in there and to have all kinds of different ways that we evaluate the collection. Right?
It sounds like you made a good point, Lori. I feel like our patrons and our public more so want to see like that the process is fair and the process is just, more so than us choosing the perfect word. That maybe if the policy had a little bit more of the timeline of the selection process, or like what the review process is like for materials as they get added, then maybe that would you know, answer some doubts or concerns. But I'm not sure.
Can I just offer something? If the line says all under the selection process, all acquisitions, whether purchased or donated, are evaluated by the following criteria. What if it were to be are evaluated by some or all of the following criteria? So it's just very clear that maybe not every single bullet point is going to be applied to every single acquisition. Some of them or all of them, depending upon, because it, like Allison pointed out, the latest diet book, whatever the fad is, there's a public high demand for it. Maybe the reputation of the author isn't great, but there's still a high demand for the book.
I would be more comfortable with that change. Allison, I don't know how you would feel about that, whether we said some or all of the following criteria or are generally evaluated by the following criteria, which gives also, I think, maybe the sense, I think some or all is a little bit more precise.
Sorry, I'm comfortable with some or all of, I'll add that. I think that, yeah, because no one book is going to fall into all of those categories, or one DVD or whatever, so. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Is there any more discussion on this item?
No, I think that's, I totally agree with the correction. I think that's clear and stays to the intent of what we're trying to build. So totally in alignment.
Great, then I would like to ask for a motion to approve the collection development policy with the addition of the words some or all of between by and the on page one of the selection of the policy. I think that's clear enough for a motion.
Yes, I've got it.
I'll make a motion for that approval of the additional language some or all in the selection process for the collection development policy.
Great. Do we have a second?
I will second.
Very good. Let's vote.
Chair Goodman?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
Commissioner Callanan?
Aye.
Commissioner Drake?
Aye.
All right, the motion carries.
Okay, I don't know when this will go in front of council, but we will definitely make that correction and take it in front of council when we get a chance.
Well, this is one of the most lively library commissions. Welcome. On to item B2, the possible policies regarding First Amendment audits. Is there any public comment on item B2 at this time, Janet?
Do If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to any item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself at this time. Chair Goodman, I see no public comment.
Okay, Allison, go ahead.
Okay, so we started discussing this back in June, and you raised a really good point about whether we were creating policies for situations that maybe didn't need policies. And then we immediately had a situation where we kind of had a not really a First Amendment audit, but we had a situation with a group. So we've taken the rules of conduct, which we had inherited from the Santa Barbara Library System, and I had hoped to bring that to you for recommendations, but our city attorney wanted to look at it first. Because part of it has to do with if there are rules of conduct that are broken, there are certain ones that are more serious than other ones, like an act of violence or something like that, where we would be banning a person from the library for up to a year. And then there are relatively minor ones where we might, you know, just give a verbal warning. So the attorney wants to work on that first, and I'll bring that to you after she's had a chance to go through that. She's looking at it through the lens of the fact that the city will also be in charge of the Goleta Community Center, and they would like to have a rules of conduct that works for both organizations. I'm not entirely sure that's possible, but we'll see what she manages. And then I don't know if any of you saw that our stuffed animal story time held in June got picked up by the Washington Post somehow, was a full front page color article, is on their website, has over 14,000 likes. Governor Newsom's wife posted it on her Instagram account. And we even heard that a newspaper in Guam published the piece. So we did have some photographs that we had wanted to use that were of some of the children that were picking up their stuffed animals. But because we didn't have a photography policy necessarily, not a strong one, we had to be very careful with that. So that's why I included these photography policies that I had given to you in June to take a look at. We thought that possibly the easiest thing would be going to the back page and what Pasadena Library has, and then they post this all over the library and all over their website and everything, and it says, the library often photographs or videotapes programs for use in publicity materials. By being present during these activities, you consent to use of your appearance or likeness by the library and its licensees, designees, or assignees in all media worldwide in perpetuity. To ensure the privacy of individuals and children, images will not be identified using names or personal identifying information without written approval from the photographed subject, parent, or legal guardian. So we thought about adopting something like that, and then also adding, if you do not wish your child to be photographed, please alert a staff member. Because we have been increasing, you know, we've got a very active publicity department at the city, and we're trying to do a lot more outreach in terms of the programming that we're doing and trying to get the word out there about all of the things that we have on offer. So we are constantly asked for photographs of programs that we've had in the past that we can use to publicize upcoming ones. And we're always very uncertain. It happened today. We wanted to send out a press release about the summer reading club, and staff wasn't sure if the parents had agreed to some kids getting their photo taken. So we need to come up with some sort of policy so that we can take advantage of these programs and things and help publicize the library and what it does, not just for kids, but for, you know, families, adults, seniors, and all of that. So it's up to you whether you think we can do something that simple, or if you would prefer something more like the Berkeley Public Library policy, which has sections on casual photography and filming, research photography and filming, which I don't think would be appropriate for us, media photography and filming, which we do have, you know, KTEY? The news station will call us and say, can we come down in half an hour and, you know, film a program that you're doing? And we, of course, say yes, we want the publicity. Commercial photography and other filming, we need to find out what the policy for the city is on that. And then they talk about requests and the timeliness of requests for filming and photography for commercial photography and other filming. So I don't know if we want to get that deep in the weeds with it, or if we just want something sort of just a statement posted everywhere for people to see that we might be taking photographs and that we won't use names, but if you're attending a program, you might be photographed. So I'm totally open to whatever input you have.
Well, as someone who runs a program where we have every family sign a photo release or, you know, not, and keep track of which children can be photographed, I am strongly in favor of having a simple, readily available, posted policy. And I think we should make it easy and just adopt the Pasadena policy and post it with the additional sentence. But I, of course, I'm open, would like to hear what others think about that.
I have no more to add. I completely agree. It's established, it's simple, it's direct.
Yeah, I agree with the simple statement. And they also have signage that, you know, that it's like it's an image of a camera and it just says, like, if you don't wish to be photographed, and just put that around in many places. I think that's transparent with the public, and the policy is just really clear to understand that way.
Yeah, I support that version of the policy and the fact that it gives the patron the power to make their own choice.
All right, is that enough direction, or do we need to vote on this, Allison?
That's enough direction. Why don't I write up a policy and I'll bring it to the next meeting for you to wordsmith if you wish.
All right. Are there any future agenda items that anyone wants to put onto our October agenda? We do not meet in September. Well, in that case, this meeting is adjourned. We'll see you all the first Monday in October. Thank you.
Thanks. Good night.
It smells so good, you make me flip. Let's arrange that wedding trip. When the preacher says dig, I'll say I'm hip. You smell so good, like a garden full of roses. And to think this treat for noses is free.